Attention Magazine, making a difference for people affected by ADHD. Check out the June issue, where we'll cover healthy sleep, diet and exercise, complementary and alternative treatments, sports and recreation, and developing social skills. Attention Magazine is chad.org. Click, join, get involved. Download the Attention Magazine app on iTunes.
This is Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station, part of Attention Talk Network. Its sister stations include Attention Talk Video, your ADHD talk show station, our subscription-based newsletter, Attention Talk News, your ADHD news source. Each media channel can be accessed at their respective URLs, attentiontalkradio.com, attentiontalkvideo.com, and attentiontalknews.com. Keep up with all the media channels on our Facebook page, found at facebook.com/attentiontalkradio.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, ADHD and Attention Coach Jeff Copper, and we have what I hope is going to be an exciting and insightful show tonight, articulating ADHD so others can get it. The idea here is to share with you how you can describe ADHD in some situations to some people so they can begin to maybe look in their mind and be able to see what it's a little bit like, and also maybe to help you get some insight yourself. Today is Wednesday, June the 17th at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in the year 2015. Before we get into the meat of the show, real quick, some announcements. I want to make everybody aware of ADHDfund.com. It's a crowdsourcing website used to raise money for small-scale ADHD research studies worldwide. If you're listening to this, we'd encourage you to go and make a contribution, 5, 10, 15, 20. You know, it really doesn't necessarily matter, but there's lots of research that needs to be done on small scale worldwide that it's not part of bigger studies or not part of the sponsors that can really, really help us. So we encourage you to do that. Also, the CHAD conference, it's not too early to start planning for that. This year it's in New Orleans, November 12th through the 14th. For more information on that, you go to chadd.org. Also, the Lori DePauw puts on ADHD Success Telesummer. It begins July the 13th and I think runs through the 17th. It's an online type of deal. I encourage you to consider checking that out. Most of that information is free. If you just Google ADHD Success Telesummit 2015, then it will take you to that site. So I think that's all of our announcements. Okay, so we did something new last week, or last show that we did for the very first time in really, really a long time, is me kind of going this alone. Normally I have an expert guest that comes on, and I'm interviewing them on a variety of topics. And last week, when I did this, I got on and basically shared what my ahas that I got in coaching some people when they got what I call an aha solution or something that was really different. And we got a really good response to that. The idea was those solutions didn't necessarily have to work for you, but it was an idea to kind of stretch your mind and kind of get outside of the traditional type solutions, because there's a lot of really good solutions out there that they're not something that you might think of. I have to tell you, we will probably be doing a sequel to that at some point in time. But because of that response, it inspired me to do this show, because when I'm coaching those with ADHD, a lot of times I want them to help them understand kind of what's going on and put them in an experience for them to witness attention. And the one thing that I've learned is attention, only you can observe what you're paying attention to. Nobody else can see inside your head, which makes it actually really unique, because you've never seen what anybody else is truly paying attention to, and you have nothing to compare it to, which is that little factoid is a nugget for another show that we'll be doing sometime down the road. But one of the things is our attending process is very much the same. And so what I want to do is I want to frame out some theory that I learned from Dr. Russell Barkley. And by the way, today's show is, these are things that I've worked with people that they found very, very beneficial. I'm not going to tell you that there's research and science literature that justifies all this kind of stuff, but it's really a lens or a context to look through to help you really see things in such a way that, that I hope that it will make some sense to you. So just that little disclaimer. So in interviewing Dr. Barkley and seeing a couple presentations, he talks so much about how play is so important for children. And when we think of play, we tend to think of kind of giggly, you know, ha ha ha. But if we can remove that notion of giggly kind of play for a second and really take a look at what's happening, then we can begin to understand play in a little bit different context, and we'll talk about more applications of that in a second. A three-year-old, imagine, is sitting on a carpet with a bunch of Legos. And to build something, a plane, a boat, or whatever they're doing, it requires some planning, some sequencing, and some organization. So play, if you're going to do that stuff, is really executive functioning. It's putting those things together. What's fascinating to me is that you'll notice that a child that is three, from what I understand from the experts, many times is talking out loud to themselves while they're messing around with those Legos. If there's another child playing there, it's not like they're having a conversation with the other child. It's just like, I got this blue one, we'll sit here, and you know, whatever. And Dr. Barkley is also explained to me that developmentally, a child between age 3 and 5, that verbal conversation that they're having externally becomes, I love the wording, is privatized. It moves into the person's prefrontal cortex. It's effectively what self-talk is. And understanding that is really, really kind of helpful to realize that it's external, it's an executive function thing. As a person is doing this stuff, it becomes privatized. But that play, the manipulation of Legos to a certain extent as you grow older as an adult, becomes privatized too. It moves into your prefrontal cortex. And it's up there that you are organizing thing, which is a real challenge for those with ADHD. And so one of the metaphors that I love from Dr. Barkley, he also talks about, is the back part of your brain being like the filing cabinet. When you go to school, you learn information. It gets filed in the back part of your brain. And those with ADD, they're not ignorant people. As a matter of fact, ADHD and intelligence have absolutely nothing to do with each other. We did a great interview with Dr. Thomas Brown on that several months ago. But the issue really is with ADHD, it's the prefrontal cortex, it's the forehead, the front part of your brain, that takes that information in the back and it manipulates it and organizes it and puts it all together. Metaphorically, it's like taking the Legos out and bringing it up front and doing something with it. And so when we begin to understand that, and we can see this, when I'm coaching people, a lot of times I do what I call, this is a working memory exercise, and we're gonna do it right here. I've used this in another show that we've done on other related matters, and we actually have an Attention Talk video devoted strictly to this. But in a second, I'm going to state 4 words. I'm going to state them slowly. I'm going to try to be clear. And what I want you to do is, I don't want you to repeat them. I don't want you to write them down. Okay? Now, you're listening to this show, and so we're not having a conversation, but I want you to think about it, and as if you were talking to me, I want you to repeat the words back to me in alpha order. So again, I'm going to give you 4 words. Don't write them down. Don't say them out loud, but repeat them back in alpha order. So here we go. And I'm going to say the words, and I'm going to pause for a period of time before I say repeat them in alpha order. So here we go. The words are: kangaroo, B, heart, teach. Can you restate them in alpha order? The list would go: beat, heart, kangaroo, teach. Now here's what I want you to realize, is if you noticed it, you had to hold those 4 words in working memory. You had to remember them. Then you had to kind of go through each one of them and think about what the first letter was. Then you kind of had to make kind of a second list with them in the alpha order. Now, many of you who are listening to this got no problem. You got them all right. If you did, that's fine. But I want you to notice that it was effortful for you. It took some energy. Now, some of you, you'll notice, is that you forgot a word or two. In other words, you maybe got beaten kangaroo, or excuse me, a beaten heart, but you forgot the last two words. And some of you just didn't get the order correct. It doesn't really matter what happened, what your outcome was on this, other than to watch the process and realize that that was just four words, four very simple words that you had to hold in your working memory, and you had to play with them. Reiterate that. You had to play with them. You had to manipulate them. You had to organize them in order to repeat them back. Those with ADHD have difficulty with working memory. Imagine if these four words were not words, they were actually more complicated concepts that you were having to manipulate around. Or imagine, if you will, that there was 8, 10, maybe 20 of these words manipulating. You can begin to see the challenges of having to hold all that stuff and manipulate it in your mind. So very often those with ADHD, what we need to do is we need to begin to externalize, make public this private information. The other thing that's helpful for this is one of the reasons that we're doing the show is this simple exercise. If you want to, you can add a fifth word or whatever, but you can go to somebody else and explain this to them and have them go through this exercise and realize in their own mind how difficult it is for them to organize this stuff and say, hey, listen, at the end of the day, I struggle with this more than the average person, and it shows up in ADD. So I want to go to a break. And we come back, we're going to kind of expand upon that, and we're going to start adding some other things in there. For those that are interested in learning about me, I'm an ADHD and attention coach. My website is digcoaching.com, and my practice is Dig Coaching Practice, where we excavate the aha daily. I'm on the editorial board of Attention Magazine. I was one of the founders of the Professional ADHD Association for Coaches that certifies coaches. I actually train other coaches to become ADHD coaches, and I've been doing this, I think, 7-8 years. Also been the host of Attention Talk Radio, Attention Talk Video, and the editor of Attention Talk News. You can find all that stuff out and more by, again, going to digcoaching.com. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function impairment make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
If you think you understand attention so well, then why are you struggling so much with it? Attention is as simple as it is complex to understand. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. It's grossly misunderstood. Consider this. Focus on the wrong thing, get the wrong solution. In our new ebook, we'll share 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download our ebook today at attentiontalknetwork.com and start understanding and managing your attention today.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm trying to help talk through a little bit of ADD theory and give you some experiences so that you can articulate the ADHD experience a little bit better and do it with other people so they can maybe better understand or get why you're challenged in certain areas or why you do what you do. Before the break, we did a working memory exercise that I like to do with people for them to begin to realize that's what working memory is. And so you begin to understand why we need to make public this information. Imagine if you had index cards and I were to say those words and you wrote them down on index cards, it would be very easy for you to manipulate and move them around and put them in order. Matter of fact, it would be really probably a piece of cake. Even if I did it to like 20 or 30 or whatever letters that was, it would substantially make that particular task easy. And so that's why so often those with ADHD, we begin to externalize these things, whether it be writing it down Or what I've learned is, for many of those with ADHD, not to talk is not to think. In other words, when they're thinking, that self-talk is going on, and you're juggling different ideas and trying to find out what to do, it's privatized. Many of those with ADHD will talk. And by talking in front of somebody, it's externalizing those thoughts to a degree, so that they can begin to play with it, manipulate it outside their prefrontal cortex. And it's funny because, too, they get feedback from the other person while the other person's even saying anything, just from their body language of kind of what's kind of going on. And so I've done a show with Kirsten, my co-host, a period of time ago about babbling or whatever, and tried to explain that for many of those with ADHD, verbally talking out loud to help them think, bounce logic, or actually to collect their thoughts and play with them is actually an effective solution for them. So much so, many times when I'm coaching adolescents or more specifically college students, is to actually go teach it to somebody, even though they don't necessarily understand it, because they were actually playing with Legos, if you will, externally. So I wanted to kind of throw that out there. That can help explain some of the stuff. The other thing I wanted to do, and this is, I've been really pleased with the comments that we've gotten on our Attention Talk video channel, is understand this. When you go into office or you go to school and you turn on your computer, your computer's got to boot up. It takes a while for, you know, a lot of times, you know, years ago I used to turn the button on and go get a cup of coffee and come back, because it takes a while for it to boot up. And then you open your applications. Like for me, it's Outlook and a browser and a couple other types of programs. And then I start opening, typing an email or whatever. And so that booting up process takes a period of time. And I when I'm working with people, I begin to explain this to them a little bit and say, you know, if you're working on a big project that requires a lot of executive functioning and thinking, which is very effortful, and somebody comes at work or you're trying to stay at school and they pull you away, like you got to go attend to something in the other room, it's like you got up and you walked away, and when you did, somebody unplugged your computer. And when you get back, you've got to reboot it. In other words, you've got to turn it back on, you've got to open up those applications again, and you've got to go back to where you were. And that process takes a period of time, and that distraction when you go away, it's not like you holding everything that you were doing in working memory, it just got evaporated when you got called away. And so when you come back, it's very effortful to kind of get that stuff going. And let's say hypothetically you were writing a letter to somebody on a Word document, hopefully, the computer saved it. They have that recovery thing that kind of comes up, and you can go back and read it. But still, even then, if you reread maybe three or four sentences that you wrote, you still haven't really kind of, you've got to reload your thought process back into your mind. And this process is very effortful. So if you get distracted again and somebody unplugs your computer again, you begin to realize why this person with ADHD can get very frustrated in an area where they're having to think and use executive functioning, because it's kind of like they keep starting over. Repeat. It's like they keep starting over. And if they get interrupted enough, after a while, they just don't do it. It's too effortful. So they'll go just do something else. It can also explain, and I've coached a lot of those with ADHD around this, how it relates to their relationship as a couple, because a lot of times the person with ADHD will be sitting there doing a project, whether it's paying bills or doing taxes or writing a report or studying for something, and the other spouse will come in and interrupt them, not realizing that effectively that they're starting over. And coming up with those simple solutions. I know Melissa Orlov talks about this, and the ladies at Impact ADD, is where you walk up and there's like an object, a rock or something, that you put next to that person with ADHD. And what is it? The signal, meaning that your coworker, your spouse, or whatever, walk in and realize that you were engaged in something, they need to speak with you, and they leave that object for you. So when you finish that cycle or whatever you're doing, the idea is that they had something they needed to speak to you about. They were polite enough not to interrupt you. Now your job is to go, realizing that they need your attention on something, and you get up and you go. That structure allows that person with ADHD to finish their thought, so they don't really have to start over. And also eliminates that frustration outburst at the other person, the scream and the yelling that happens because they're frustrated and didn't really realize that they were having to reboot their computer. And I again, this is a metaphor that you can use, or even somebody could actually do it, where they sit there and they have to get something done under deadline, and every time they get up, you just keep unplugging their computer, and you can see the anxiety that will kind of rise within them as a result of some of that stuff. And so the big deal about this rebooting the computer is I've worked with a lot of people who they're in a job situation where they go from one topic to another topic to another topic. Let's say you got three meetings in a row, a 9 o'clock, a 10 o'clock, and 11 o'clock, and they're on three completely different topics. And it's like they got their computer all up and booted and ready for the first one. And so they get done with the first one, they were ready for it. But when they get into the second meeting, the 10 o'clock, by the time they reboot their computer and bring it all up, they're like 20 minutes into the meeting, and so now they're scrambling back because they can't work and memorize. They can't remember what was covered at the beginning of the meeting. And so now they're scrambling. They go to the third meeting, they've got to reboot on something completely different. And so, in other words, it's loading that information into your mind. So this working memory and need to reboot makes it very difficult for those with ADHD to deal with transitions from one thing to the next, from interruptions, and why they can get very frustrated. Also, the reboot thing can explain why those with ADHD, they go off on vacation and they come back to work, and it's like they don't even know what they did for a living before that, is they have to spend all time, and it's a massive computer that has to reboot and load all that information back in to take them back where they were. And again, this is an area that's difficult for those, very difficult for those with ADHD. Need to go to a break again, real quick. Again, I'm Jeff Copper at gigcoaching.com. If you are a fan of attention like I am, we actually have a workshop that we sell called If Only You Understood Attention in the products area. And I can guarantee it's a little heady. It's very a little complicated. You have to watch it a couple times. It's about 30-some-odd minutes long, but it's something that it'll blow you away. You'll have a completely conceptual change in how you understand attention. And one of the things, the reason we sell it, and I use it with people that I work with, is to help them understand attention in a different way so that they can begin to manage it like they never did before. So that's just, if you're interested in attention in general, which is very much what this show is, I encourage you to check that out. So with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function impairment make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Focus on the wrong thing? Get the wrong solution, misunderstand attention, and you'll struggle with it. Get 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download the ebook today at attentiontalknetwork.com and start managing your attention today.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. We're talking about articulating ADHD so others get it. We've tried to put you in experience to actually have you witness working memory and give you a metaphor of booting up a computer that you can use with other people for them to begin to understand what distractions are like for you, maybe when you get hyper-focused and you get kind of grousy, or other times why you almost kind of can't get into a project unless you know that you can block off long periods of time, because if you go into that and you do that and you don't get it done, it's like you're having to start over again from the very, very, very beginning. And the stuff that I'm describing can be so helpful when you explain it to somebody else who doesn't have ADHD, because it reveals a little bit of the mystery of what's kind of going on, so they can begin to understand or appreciate or empathize a little bit with what's going on. And I also think it's helpful for many of those with ADHD to begin to understand some of the issues that are out there and some of the structures. So like Dr. Barclay talks about point of performance, and that is when people are giving you ideas, like almost like in a group setting, and you're there and you're meeting like 5-10 people for the first time. Why it's if you write their name, like if you had a piece of paper and you would be able to write their name down and where they are, like let's say you had 5 of them in front of you and you wrote them down and you had them pointing to them a little bit so that you don't have to hold those names in working memory. And then if you were to sit there and have a conversation, look at your sheet, and then look at the person, repeat their name a couple times, you can begin to realize why that would be a structure that would work for the person, because they're not sitting there having to hold all these names and faces and matching them up in their working memory in order to put that stuff together. It would also explain why some of those with AD really struggle to remember people's names, is because of holding it in working memory. That notion of being able to play, to talk with them and do that kind of stuff, because as you begin to pay attention a little bit more, it kind of holds that in. Also, you can begin to understand how the working memory of holding that stuff in your mind, and you always have working memory, or the RAM on a computer, which is random access memory. That's the stuff, the electricity that's there. That's why when you unplug it, it's completely gone. It has to be kind of rebooted again. You can begin to see how that's what's going on in a person with ADHD brain. It's the manipulation of that information and the sequencing that makes it difficult, which is why we try to externalize it at point of performance as much as possible. It also would explain why those with ADD, whether they're in a conversation, a thought comes to mind, as many times they can't hold it in their working memory long enough to remember it while the person's finishing the conversation, so they'll have a tendency to blurt or interrupt, because if they don't get it out, it's forever gone or forever lost. So I hope today's show helped help you see witness attention a little bit more, maybe understand what working attention is, maybe practically understand how it impacts your everyday world, also why some structures work for you. Just as a side, some of those with ADHD, they have very messy areas, and it's because many times, and not always, but not to see it is out of sight, out of mind, so they have to see it because they can't carry it in their working memory. And they'll have lots of stuff in certain area, and when they go to it, they don't have to. It's all right there for them to see it. So they'll have like piles of stuff in certain areas that are related to some of the things that they do. In which case, I would argue that they're very organized. It's just it might look ugly because there's stuff out, but it's actually their thoughts and stuff are kind of on the table. So anyway, again, I hope this was informative. I hope it was helpful. I encourage you to go out and. For a significant other or a parent or whatever to begin to think about these and share it with others. And if you do have some positive reaction to it or very helpful, please comment to us on our social media stuff, or even fire us an email at attention@attentiontalkradio.com. And with that, we'll wrap things up. We hope you enjoyed it. Catch us next week for another great edition of Attention Talk Radio. Take care.